Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 2, Duct Tape in a Closet. Peter froze outside his apartment, keys hovering halfway inside the lock. His spider senses were shrieking at him, but, as usual, not actually sending him any useful signals like, "Mugger at your 2 o'clock, armed with a 45 handgun and a switchblade." When he turned towards the hallway, listening closely for signs of a robbery or assault somewhere in the building, his spider senses immediately shut up. Peter turned back towards the door and stumbled a little, struck again with extrasensory panic. "Think," he ordered himself. "Calm down and think. What would Iron Man do?" Go in guns blazing, that was obvious. Not an option for Peter. He fingered the edge of one web-slinger, hidden beneath the cuffs of his shirt, and closed his eyes. This would have to do. Peter fitted his key into the lock, slipped into his apartment, and snagged the guns out of both goons' hands before anyone even noticed he was inside. Another quick snap of his web-shooters, and they were both webbed tightly to the wall with a satisfying thwip. "Peter, run!" May shouted from her seat at the kitchen table. "Get out of—" "It's fine, May." Peter hurried towards her, checking for injury. "They can't hurt you anymore. I'm so sorry. Crap, I—" There was a bomb wired to May's chest. Peter's heart stopped. "Impressive," a man said. He strolled out from Peter's bedroom, slowly golf-clapping. "Very impressive, and really, really dumb. Bag on the ground, hands in the air. Any funny business, and she's done." "No," May rasped. "Peter, go!" Peter looked up at the man. Older, graying, dumb mustache, crisp suit, not as nice as Tony's. "Or, of course, I could give you a few more reasons to comply." The man flicked his fingers. 10 soldiers stepped out from the hallway leading down toward May's bedroom, assault rifles aimed at Peter and May. He could grab May, chair, bomb, and all, and run, crash through the window, and swing to safety. He could shoot webs at their guns, tried to get them before they shot May. He was fast, but not fast enough. They would kill May, and he couldn't live with that. With shaking hands, Peter set his backpack onto the floor and raised his hands in the air. "There we go," the man said. "It's really a pleasure to meet you after all this time. I'm Secretary Thaddeus Ross. You may remember me from the Accords," Peter said, voice cracking up an octave or two. He'd only ever been this scared before when Toombs had opened the door to his house. "What do you want with Peter?" May snapped. "Not much." Ross stepped forward and set a hand on May's shoulder. May twitched away, trapped in place by the zip ties, securing her wrists to the arms of the chair. Peter's teeth clenched. "I'm much more interested in the Spider-Man," Ross continued, "which you very clearly are. Nice performance, by the way. Too bad you couldn't make a proper exit. It's a lot easier to go tromping around the city when it's just you, isn't it? When you're not quite as worried about casualties? Which is, of course, the very reason vigilantism is illegal. While you're focused on your own little plans, a fairy cracks in half. A priceless monument is ruined because you were too young and too stupid to understand the stakes of what you were dealing with." "Peter," May said, preternaturally calm. "He won't hurt me. I'm his only weapon against you. He needs me. You need to run. Now." "I can't take that chance," Peter rasped. "Peter, what do you want?" Peter asked Ross. "I want you," Ross smiled beatifically at Peter. "You are under arrest for violation of the Sokovia Accords, Principles 2-9. "Right," Peter said. "Hands behind your back," Ross said. "Remember what I said about funny business." "Hard to forget. You only said it a minute ago." Peter was lightheaded now, dizzy, operating somewhere outside his body. It was surprisingly easy to be a smartass in that state. Nothing was real, and his life was over. He winced a little as they locked his wrists into a heavy set of vibranium cuffs, but didn't fight back. "Wait," May was saying. "You didn't even read him his rights. You have to—" "Fifth Amendment rights apply to civilian humans. You," Ross smiled at Peter, "are neither." "Tony," May snarled. "Get your fucking ass down to Queens. Peter's been—" "Arrested," Tony said, voice echoing strangely down the line of the prison phone. "For the Accords." "You knew?" May shouted, her hand clenched on the phone's plastic handle. "You knew and you didn't—" "Ross has been sniffing down my tail for the last 2 months. I've been putting him off the trail every way I possibly can. Friday's been wiping security footage from every camera that's ever seen Peter change into a suit, out of a suit, head home, or leave home. I've been trying." "Well, try harder. Peter's in jail now. They've got him in a holding cell somewhere, cuffed and shackled, and he's all alone. They won't let me talk to him. They're just—" May swallowed hard. "They're keeping me here, too. They know he'll cooperate to keep me safe. They're going to try him tomorrow, privately. They— They're going to... You have to keep him out of the raft, Tony. You promised me you'd keep him safe. You... I'm going to keep him out of the raft, the same way I kept the rest of the Avengers out of the raft. Half of the Avengers are still on the raft.
I know, Tony said, and hung up.
The holding room door slid open, then shut. Peter scrambled up from his narrow bench. Ross stepped up to the bars separating Peter's cell from the holding room.
You could break these bars if you wanted to, couldn't you? Ross said.
Peter shrugged.
But you're not going to, because we've still got your feisty little aunt.
Why are you here?
I have a proposition for you, Ross said.
He sat in the folding metal chair and hooked one leg over the other, completely at ease.
Peter held his gaze.
What? He said.
The raft is somewhere under the Atlantic right now, Ross said.
Prisoners don't get phones, visiting hours, internet, anything.
Peter nodded stiffly.
Your genetics, Ross said.
Peter's stomach sank before he even finished the sentence.
Could be tremendously useful for science, Ross continued.
Your healing factor, your strength, your agility. Lots of researchers would love to learn more.
No, 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 absolutely not.
You'd be able to call home every day. Your friends and family would be able to visit. You'd still be above the water in your own country. You'd be contributing to science. You'd have your own suite, a real bed, windows, everything. You'd be able to stretch your legs, do some of that swinging around you love so much. How long do you think you'll last in a box like this one?
As long as I need to, until I get out again.
From under the water? We both know that's not possible.
Ross held Peter's gaze.
You'll be on the raft for the rest of your life. Alone. Trapped.
You sure you want that?
I want to ask you something.
Ross raised an eyebrow.
How do you sleep at night?
Ross's smirk twisted downward.
You're pretty sassy for a kid who's about to go to the worst juvie on the planet.
Because I don't sleep well sometimes. Peter paced across the tiny holding cell and back again.
Sometimes it's because of nightmares, but sometimes it's because I can't stop thinking about the people I couldn't save.
There was a really bad car crash last week. Did you read about it?
No, you didn't. It wouldn't make the national news. Just the Queen's local.
I couldn't save them all. I didn't get there in time. I wasn't fast enough. I got the first two out and then the car went up in flames. Boom. Nothing left alive.
Funny thing is, Ross drawled, you wouldn't have that problem if you weren't a vigilante.
So, you know what? I don't really care.
But if I hadn't been there at all, the other two people would have died.
Because I was there, they're still alive. They got to the hospital in time. They're going to be okay.
So if you throw me in the raft...
Peter grabbed the bars and stared Ross down.
The next car crash, the next fire, the next overarmed mugger, the next kid who runs into the street after a ball right into traffic, that's going to be on your head.
I'm not a vigilante. I don't kill people. I save people. Whenever I can.
You refuse to understand that because...
No, you know what? I don't know why. I don't know what your game is, man, but I refuse to be part of it. I am not your pawn.
Hmm, Ross said.
Peter folded his arms across his chest.
You don't play chess, do you? Ross said.
I have, once or twice.
Because if you did, you'd remember that a pawn can become a queen.
The most powerful piece on the board, Parker. Remember that?
But, Ross smiled.
Only if it obeys.
Ross adjusted his tie, stood, and looked down at Peter.
I'll ask you again, he said.
Eventually.
You may feel differently after you've been living in a 6x6 cube without sunlight or fresh air for a few years.
What pawns do, Peter said, voice shaking slightly, is sacrifice themselves for the greater good. I have no regrets.
He had a lot of regrets.
Like, a lot. A crap ton, a shitload, an overloaded dumpster full.
Ross just looked at Peter for a moment.
When I visit you on the raft, he said at last, you'll be old enough to grow a beard.
He clicked the door shut behind him.
May strode into the courtroom, head held high. After a quick debate, the guards at the door stepped aside, allowing May to step into the nearly empty courtroom. Tony had pulled a lot of strings to be allowed into the private trial, accompanied by the people Peter would need to see before... Well, before...
Happy, scoot your ass over. Take the kids with you, Tony said as May stalked towards them.
This isn't going to be fun to watch. You didn't bring any whiskey, did you? I'd really love a nice...
I think I should stay and talk with Miss Parker, Happy said. She really doesn't...
Good morning, Miss Parker, Tony said as May slid into the bench beside him.
How are...
Why didn't you have him sign the accords? May snapped. You supported them. You fought for them. You...
Like you very much, Happy said and scooted over towards MJ and Ned with a tired sigh.
Went home and took a moment to actually read them, Tony said, adjusting his sunglasses.
I had a lot of time to sit by Rhodey's hospital bed and look through the fine print. Have you ever read them? Not great bedtime reading, except for the boring factor. Peter's identity would be revealed to the world. He'd have to wear a tracking bracelet. His powers would be analyzed. We both know that doesn't mean a few fill-in-the-bubble tests.
Do you? May asked. Have the tracking bracelet, I mean?
Well, Tony said, that depends how you define have.
Tony?
Tony pulled up his cuffs to reveal a slim metal loop around his wrist, blinking a steady green.
Pretty, isn't it?
So when you came to our apartment to talk with me, after I found out that he was Spider-Man, they knew where...
Of course not, Tony said, eyes on the slowly filling courtroom pews.
Friday helps me out a bit.
Couldn't you have done that for Peter? May asked.
Nope, too visible. If he's out swinging the streets of New York and getting uploaded to YouTube, his tracker would have to show his actual location. Second, he'd still have to stop being a vigilante, and... We both know he'd never have stopped, May.
You could have stopped him, May said. Why didn't you?
Well, I tried to take the suit back, but
before that, you knew damn well he was spidering for months before that ferry incident.
Ah, Tony said. Well, he rolled his cuffs down again and adjusted the sharp platinum links.
Tony, May said.
Tony closed his eyes. I was proud of him, he said, almost too quiet to be heard. The things he was doing, I saw the videos, May, YouTube and security footage, and he was incredible. He was so good. He was helping so many people. I just couldn't tell him to stop.
He would have, if you'd told him to. He looks up to you so much, Tony. He'd have signed the accords, worn the bracelet, whatever you asked him to do.
Until the next emergency rattled down the pipes, of course. Like the vulture. Face it, May, there's no way we could have kept him off the streets forever.
Duct tape in a closet, May muttered.
Tony barked out a laugh. He'd rip his way out of it like we'd wrapped him in toilet paper instead.
I know, but still, a parent can always dream, right?
Well, Tony coughed. At any rate, it doesn't matter now. Violators of the Accords are locked up in the raft, period. No apologies, no second chances.
There must be a way to get him out of there. With all of your money, all of your power, all of the Avengers.
The Avengers are extinct.
He could escape, May whispered. He could hide, go underground.
If he did, he wouldn't be able to contact us. He'd be all alone, no team, no backup. When Ross finds him, he'll be dead. Or worse, he'll disappear and you'll never find him again.
He could join up with Captain America, May muttered, sneaking a look at the guards.
Don't try to tell me you don't know where he is.
Surprisingly enough, I don't. But at any rate, Peter fought Cap in Germany. Why would Cap trust him now?
What about the others? Black Widow, she was on your side, wasn't she? Peter's only talked about that fight 20 million times since I found out about him.
Black Widow doesn't trust anyone, ever. She'd assume Peter was going to turn her in. At any rate, all Ross would have to do is threaten you, publicly, and Peter would tie himself up with his own webs and plop himself down on Ross's doorstep.
I hate that, May rasped. I hate that about him.
No, you don't.
May pulled a tissue from her pocket and folded and refolded it into tiny squares.
No, she said at last. No, I don't. I...
The courtroom doors clanked open again. Tony craned his head to see Peter as the guards frog-marched him down the courtroom aisle between empty columns of pews. He was still in yesterday's clothes, rumpled and exhausted, eyes bruised dark with lack of sleep. Peter's eyes locked onto May and Tony. Tony recognized the look in Peter's eyes. He'd felt it in his own upon waking up in a cave in Afghanistan, strapped to a car battery. The guards shoved Peter into his seat and locked the cuffs to the back of the chair. Peter twisted to look back over his shoulder at May and Tony. Tony lifted one hand in a mock salute. May gave Peter a watery smile. MJ waved. Ned flashed him two thumbs up. Happy nodded staunchly. The judge entered with a flourish of dark robes. Tony watched Peter's thin shoulders straighten and set, back erect, ready for the firing squad. Feet planted firmly on the floor, hands clasped behind him to stop their shaking, one finger compulsively running back and forth over the cuffs.